Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello to all our folks out there, and we're very, very happy that you could join us today. And I have with us Ruchir, and we would like to, you know, look into subjects today that we hope are going to be wonderfully enlightening to all of us. And it's always, for me, a brand new experience. I never know what's going to happen on these shows. And so, Ruchir, welcome. And is there an area that you wanted to start with?
Yes, there is. The last show we were actually talking about, well, a number of things, and but about the bones and also about elimination, although in a very specific meaning of the words. But I was wondering, actually, because it's kind of connected to the topic I wanted to ask about regarding this audio file that you would put up on your blog about metabolism and calories, and I really was thinking if maybe you could go over really the sort of the essence of what was conveyed there, and then I would like to see, you know, how this relates to other things, like, you know, because if we say, for example, well, bones are obsolete, then isn't the whole idea of metabolism and elimination and so forth as being, you know, traditional bodily functions, also not obsolete. So, but first I thought maybe you could just tell us about metabolism and calories and what was found regarding these.
Yes. I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know what, something was put into the intent of existence this morning, and I haven't spoken to anyone about it, and this ties right in with what we're speaking of. Existence has taken, let's use another analogy, and it seems like a slightly disrespectful analogy, but Mother herself has used it on occasion, so I know that I'm at liberty to use it. Let's think of the infinite as a supercomputer. The supercomputer was only functioning from, think of it as a capstone of a pyramid. And really, it's sort of the top quarter of the pyramid. It was only functioning from the capstone portion, the upper portion of the pyramid, which is blue light. All of our existence has been dominant in blue light. Blue in the spectrum of red and yellow and blue being the primary colors is the feminine, cool, receptive color. Red is the proactive and yellow is the neutral. So we were created by the supercomputer as images within itself with only one third of its being. And that created an imbalance in over receptivity, over femininity in the cosmos. Because man was the opposite pole to the cosmos, it catapulted humanity into overactivity. The overactive life that we were living was causing our own metabolisms to become depleted, and the metabolism within our bodies went out of whack. We're the microcosm of the macrocosm. The macrocosm is created from an overabundance of blue light. Two-thirds of it had to be brought online. So days ago, I wrote this in my blog for those of you that follow along. And by the way, we have quite a few live listeners today, and it pleases me immensely. And I'm sure that you, you know, keep track with us on Twitter, because that's the way we let you know when we pre-record and so on. But we're just, it's wonderful to have you there, because I can really feel you when I do these records. And when there's no one on the line, you know, I still, of course, do the shows to the best of my ability, but the ambiance is different. Your love and your acceptance and your interest in what I'm saying, and it helps to pull in information. So thank you for being a live audience, because our pre-records are usually not that well attended. But it's thanks to Twitter, and Twitter's thanks to you, Rogier. I am not at all computer literate. So, and we just also, it's another way of staying in touch, and Rogier helps us with that. So let me continue with this. With the mother then said, the infinite then said, that the other portions had to be completely, all the information dumped, and we're giving the computer analogy now, all the information dumped, there was no memory necessary to be kept whatsoever, and they were recreated by the third that didn't go into a freeze. Because what happened to it is similar to when a computer gets foreign substances in it. And this, of course, Rogier explained to me, because I wouldn't have a clue about this, not even knowing how to switch one of our computers on here. In all the offices, we have computers, and I have no idea how to switch them on. So what we're dealing with is the fact that the two-thirds froze when something foreign. We spoke last week about the contradiction that formed within Mother's being, the infinite's being, when it asked the question, is this life announcing? Because what that did is it created a contradiction, because anything in the infinite is life announcing. And secondly, it created intelligence, because intelligence chooses between right and wrong. There's only one choice in the cosmos. What is life enhancing? What is not? Intelligence developed. Egoic mind developed. And the infinite got trapped in its own egoic mind, so to speak. And it got trapped inside a ball of mirrors. The ball of mirrors is the mind of somebody in identity consciousness. But that's how the identity consciousness formed. It's because reason formed, and reason asks a question. So, my brothers and sisters, to continue. So the infinite's recreated two-thirds, or the three-quarters, whatever it is, of the other, of itself. Completely recreated it. Then within a nanosecond, recreated its creation. So that it would be created from wholeness and from white light. This morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, it was discovered that even though that was done, the yellow part did not happen. So we had the red light properly in place, we had the blue light properly in place, which caused purple light, which incidentally causes quite a bit of instability. So we've had a great instability cosmically and on the planet, for those of you that might have felt it in the last few days. But then, this morning was discovered, the other white yellow light wasn't there. And when I tried to find why it wasn't there, Mother said, you will understand later. And the later entailed what we spoke about, putting that together with this, which we spoke about on last week's show. So really, if you want to understand this week's show, it is important that you go back to the archives, if you're a listener that didn't get the last week's show, and listen to it. So what we have now is that the infinite recognized that there was only matter, that light and frequency, energy, all of these things were just part of matter that had separated out. That they all needed to be purified and cleansed and healed and all brought back into incorruptible matter, which also was purified and cleansed and healed. And these things were brought back into one. Matter is all there is. And it's not matter as we knew it, because what we knew of these subatomic particles, they were separated. What we're looking at now is something that is completely in oneness and in wholeness with no separation within it. So just refresh my memory one more time of what it was that you asked me.
Well, first of all, are you saying that this yellow light is here now?
Metabolism, yes, the metabolism. I remember now your question, Rogier. Exactly. The yellow light is now here. This has finally brought the metabolism back to what it should be, which is white light. Perfect frequency, perfect light. Without the yellow, we were still completely out of balance with our metabolism. And it caused too much instability because we had the ultra-feminine light, we had the ultra-masculine light, but we didn't have the stabilizing yellow light. What that would create for us physically is that the slightest bit of eating would create weight gain. You know, and again, Mother pointed out very succinctly to us in the blog entry that we did on this, I think there's an audio entry, as well as what she said on the previous show. And she said, remember, nothing can make you fat when you're made from me. It's made from me. Everything is made from my being. What is it that could possibly have not been made from the infinite being? Anything that is separated from itself. When the threads are pulled apart, that's what something abnormal is within the infinite being. When masculine and feminine is separate, you know, when linear mind forgets its larger vastness, that's separation consciousness. And anything like that makes life unnatural. And hence aberrances, things that are not, you know, right, that shouldn't exist, occur in our life. So the metabolism, now, yes, the yellow light's put in, now the white light should be there. And so the metabolism now should be stable. And now it should be so that the intake and the output are balanced. Here you asked a question about elimination being unnatural, right? You're right.
Well, that's what you're saying now with input and output being balanced, but it all seems very cyclical or pulsing to me. It seems to be a cycle, doesn't it? Isn't it? And certainly, I think metabolism. We wouldn't know the details, but I'm sure it ties in a great deal with elimination and digestion. And of those two, I do believe I've heard you say that they're sort of getting rapidly obsolete as well.
That's what you meant by the cycle, the ingestion,
yeah.
You know, right. Okay, you're absolutely right. And it's linear. And linear elimination, because what happened with elimination is every time we moved up in frequency or consciousness, if you will, another layer of life was lost. We move up, another layer of life is lost. And then Mother said, no, this is linear. Let all within my being be life-enhancing at all levels of light and potential or not exist. And so the linear elimination cosmically was taken care of. Linear elimination gets less when you are an ascended master, and then as you go beyond that, it gets even less. But why is it still there? My brothers and sisters, for us to understand why these changes are made, I remember somebody in Ohio wanting to walk out of my class because I said that all the centers in the brain were being created into one single field. You know, and I thought, whoa, I mean, I've told her incredible things, and she sat there nodding, and I tell her this one thing, but she's over the edge. Don't get it. What is happening, really? We are metamorphosing into God beings that's beyond anything that we have seen. Because even the God kingdoms in the dream is not what humankind is evolving to. We are moving way beyond it. Let's call it the super God kingdoms. And I speak about those briefly in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms. We are becoming beings made of refined, incorruptible matter containing all refined resources within itself as one inseparable form of matter. And the inseparable form of matter is all there is, because it's the infinite being. It's only when Mother realized that her physical body is the only real thing, that even if she thinks of her etheric bodies as real, that is still separation consciousness, because that is still part of illusion. It needed to be joined together. Let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Al Mean has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters, and I've been trying to understand why my words are not sinking in very well. And I asked Mother during the break period, because I can feel people floundering with what I'm saying, and I keep trying to make it clearer, and it feels like it's not getting clear, and Mother says it's so that we can recognize a truth, that all life needs to speak the language of the one life, that it is a language of white light and all pure frequencies and all potential available fully in the moment. And she says that it needs to be put into her intended reality, that all life speaks one language. And it's the language of the highest manifestation of Mother's being at any time. So I hope that's going to clear things a little bit. Ruchir,
but what does that mean then? I mean, does that mean that previously I'm not sure if it would be discrepancy or in languages. I mean, was that in any way dictated by, let's say, different configurations or proportions of blue and yellow and red?
Oh, very good question. I don't know the answer. Let me ask Mother. She says, think of it more in shades of blue. In the dream, different languages were shades of the blue. A very light blue versus a very dark blue.
But so we're basically saying that the yellow and the red were totally absent, because that doesn't seem to be the case when you would be looking at certain, you know, people and the way their energies are.
Okay. The light workers compensated for this by becoming overactive in doingness. Pishkuye kier naskai, avashka hunuch, pekie auyach kivashkava. We have a situation, and we have a situation of somebody ringing the doorbell. So, Ruchir, I will explain to them while you just make sure that that's dealt with, if you don't mind. So, my brothers, and just alert me when you're back on. So, my brothers and sisters, let's take a little look at this. See, if you consider that the masculine and feminine separated from trauma, the masculine formed a sphere of mirrors. The feminine, inside the sphere of mirrors, this was the ego identification of the infinite itself. Inside those mirrors, the infinite mother resided. It doesn't mean because it is predominantly feminine that there are, in fact, no masculine beings in the dream. Because the feminine yet had within it masculine. And so the masculine was separated out of the feminine to create masculine beings inside what was a very feminine dream state. So it's the same with the blue. It's not that every single thing was one note of blue before. That did happen, but it happened very much towards the end of the dream. There were bits of red and light available, but predominantly because the infinite mother herself had within her all things. So there was, in fact, some red available, some yellow available, and beings did express it at different levels. So at the small scale, you can say that people expressed red and yellow differently. On the large scale, overseeing the entire cosmos, it was more like shades of blue. So, Ruchir, you're back with us. Thank you for helping out on that. You're back, right?
Yes, I'm back.
Oh, good.
So I was wondering, I mean, I did catch the sort of the tail of it, and I think I know roughly what you were saying, but would this blue and yellow and red light, even though sort of cosmically it's just shades of blue, but in terms of human expression, it does seem to have some sort of connection to this concept of Ayurvedic body types. Would you care to comment on that?
Okay, let me just ask Mother about this, because to tell you the truth, I don't know that much about it. Mother says that there is a body of information available that is part of the magic of the God realms. That she said that when my class is here, which is next week, so if you folks follow the blog, we will have it up, and by the time this airs, it will be past blogs, and you'll find it around about the 10th of December. So my brothers and sisters, she's saying that there is a whole body of magic that can help bring balance inside the bodies by working with light and bringing in light to specific areas, because she said even though most of a body could be in white light, if there is a portion of the body that's not expressing, it could still be in blue light, being over passive or expressing. It will be in red light because it's hyperactive. So she said that there is a whole body of information, which I will pass as quickly as I can. So do watch the blog, and we'll give it to you there. So she is saying, yes, very much, light can heal and balance the body types. She says, however, that the body types are not the way they are because they're based on light. They are representative of the root races of the cosmos. And the root races of the cosmos were not so much based on light as in which potential they were going to explore.
Okay, so it's not the case that one would be primarily representing blue and the other yellow, but more like different combinations.
eight different combinations, but also there are vatas that go into, you know, into overpolarization and so on, and the different body types. I'm not very versed, well versed in most studies out there, like astrology, other than the Isis astrology and so on. But this is something I've just looked very briefly at. They overpolarize if they're not imbalanced within themselves. And if that's the case, they could very much go more into one light. Normally, they are supposed to have white light. All beings are. And then they are supposed to live out different potentials. Mother says that must be removed. It is a form of programming, just like genetic programming would predispose one to gaining weight or being good at math or whatever. She says those programs must all be eliminated, and the programs of potential must be eliminated at this time. Kishkai kiyah kunach abach kiyava. Let it be written that it is my intent that jokuyeh nebekyo kunavashkara ista inish arach. That at this time there be a removal of all that I am not. That is what the mother has said. We are moving towards a superhumanness, my brothers and sisters, in which there is no elimination. It has already been put in as mother's intent that that be completely dissolved, that assimilation be dissolved, digestion be dissolved. What she said was as follows. She said that if you eat carrots, the carrots that the second, because remember the carrots are made, now this is the way we are moving towards. This is what humans are moving towards. We spoke about eliminating bones. That's because they're becoming a refined, light-filled matter that doesn't require bones. You know, the pumping of blood, it doesn't require that. It doesn't require the structure and the flow that we had when things were separate in the dream. When we eat the carrot, it is, as we swallow it, it is immediately to become, to dissolve itself back into the group soul of the vegetable of carrots. So in other words, there is something about our removing something without giving something back. And I know that light workers have chafed underneath this. Let's ask Mother about this right here, because I can feel it's something big. Yahukunesh, kipa chahunechevai. She says, why don't you once again define, in broad terms, black magic? Well, black magic, in broad terms, my brothers and sisters, is that which depletes its environment willingly and knowingly without giving back. So, actually then, Rogier, in the broadest sense of the word, the way we've been eating is really a form of depleting without giving back. And it's a form of then, in the broadest sense, black magic. Neshkayehta uskavash. Mother says, and what does black magic do? Well, it depletes not only the environment, but also ourselves.
Yeah.
You were going to say something?
No, I didn't know more was coming. So please go on.
Okay. So in other words, we've been eating in a way that although we think it, we're gaining from it, we're actually losing resources by eating the way it used to be. Now Mother has said that the resources, the soul of the carrot, if you will. Now remember, there's only matter. But let's talk about it for a moment as though it's separate. The soul of the carrot immediately goes back into the group soul of all other carrots. It takes, and if you eat with gratitude, now the carrot is filled with gratitude, it takes it back to the other carrots, and it is birthed again. your gratitude for eating is the gift you can give to food. What is it that you need from the food? Actually nothing. Because of the fact that the food in you are made of the same stuff, which is the mother's, the infinite being, it's not just mother's, 50-50, mother and father, the infinite being's body. We are all made from it. The carrot is made from it. The cat in the road is made from it. So the only chemicals and things like that have been treated very harshly to distort it, they're not made from it. And mother has taken all reality away from those things. They just shouldn't work anymore. Chemicals should not work for us. Food does not need to feed us. We are being fed as being part of the infinite's body. So we have a break in about a minute. Is there anything you wanted to add to that, Rahir?
Well, just to be sure, but you're saying that the way we were eating was depleting, right?
Yes. And in broad terms, depleting ourselves and the environment.
But so how is, would this not be the case now then?
Because now we're no longer destroying a part of the animal kingdom or destroying a part of the carrot kingdom. Because the resources of that carrot isn't going to feed us to live at the cost of the carrot kingdom. It's going straight back to the carrot kingdom. We don't need it. Thank you very much. We're eating because it tastes good.
Okay, great.
That's fascinating. My gosh. Okay, well, my brothers and sisters, we'll be back after this break, and we'll talk again.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters of light. Andrew here. I hope that I've answered everything, but when we eat of that carrot, its life force doesn't come to us. And we're speaking about life force as though it's separate. But its life force goes back to the carrot kingdom. We are actually drawing our resources straight from the infinite. That does mean that digestion, absorption, elimination should be entirely done away with. These things happen to the extent that we believe them.
Okay, but you say they should be done away with entirely, but you also say as you progress in your sort of evolution, it will become less. So which one is it then? Does it just become less? Like, for example, digestion, elimination?
Yeah, see, right now, let's say... Let's take one portion of what I said. Right now, if somebody does not eliminate for, say, 7 days, they are going to rush to the doctor. The doctor might put a pump in, do an enema. I don't know what they'll do. But they would immediately see it as a grave emergency. Right now, if we say to somebody, you will not have food for 2 months or 1 month, they will starve because they think they will.
Okay.
This is part of the issue. A lot, in my opinion, a lot of what the Infinite is doing is that the Infinite is building up this complete reign of peace and light. So the reign of peace and light that is the New Jerusalem discussed in Revelation, which we've often spoken about, and we're going to, in very near future, broadcast on Station 3 of BBS a whole program on the Holy Cities. But to manifest that reality first, if you have that reality first, it will release completely the tyranny in the minds of man of these belief systems. Because somebody can kill themselves thinking that they're starving.
Okay, but
something that dramatic, a shift, it would set people free. Sorry?
But then when you... Okay, so we've said that then, but then if we also see that metabolism is very much sort of connected to the notion of elimination, yet the notion of metabolism seems to be perfectly legitimate.
I'm using metabolism, no doubt, very differently than what is used in medical terms. Metabolism, for me, the way that I use the word, is the give and take of resources. The balance between receiving, receptivity, and proactively giving. So that is what I mean by it. Perhaps it is the same, it's just that I'm explaining its spiritual principle. Because we expend more energies than we get, or we get more energies than we expend. Mother wants to say something to us. The body gravitated of humanity, in other words, humanity's bodies gravitated into passivity. Because their lives catapulted into overactivity. But let's look at this a different way. In that, their bodies represented the cosmos. Their lives were overactive. The cosmos was underactive. And their bodies represented the cosmic body. Therefore, the bodies of mankind have been underactive. We have been receiving more than we've been giving. That depletes the environment, it depletes ourselves, and that would be an indication of why so many people's thyroid isn't properly balanced.
But we've been receiving more of what?
Sorry?
But we've been receiving more of what exactly?
Well, for instance, calories. Our bodies represent the cosmic body. The cosmic body was overpolarized into passivity. When a body becomes overpassive, the thyroid slows down its functioning. The body receives calories but doesn't burn them properly.
Okay, but this then, or I'm not sure if you're now just referring to how it was, because this seems to sort of really be legitimizing the concept of calories then as something, yes, it...
No, I'm saying the way it was, but
okay.
Still there are those out there keeping in place that which it was as a sub-creation, like a spider web that's laid over a beautiful painting through their beliefs. And so if people still believe I'll get fat from food, you know, they're going to manifest a sub-creation, but it is no longer the case.
Okay, but so, and I suppose the same goes then for our belief in gravity.
Very much so.
Is it as simple as that?
Okay, let me just try and think what you're really asking. What the simplicity is through here is that the reality of it is already in place. Are we just going to let go? Now, are there reasons we're not letting go? I don't know that. Because if there are, it isn't today's work. And, you know, it looks like these things are unfolding in a linear fashion. But it's not that. It's that the roots are being put down for a very beautiful tree. This new reality that we're birthing is the tree. The roots are being put down that we fully understand it.
All right. Well, maybe we should move on to next topic then.
Yes.
Okay, which is actually completely separate. It's about the migration of birds. I wonder if you could explain a little bit about that, and then specifically in the light of what I think you said recently, that the patterns, I think, in the way that they were flying were keeping a certain, certain frequency alive on the planet, which shouldn't have been alive anymore.
Yes. The ley lines that, let's speak about things the way they were first. The ley lines on Earth were responsible for memory. So, for example, for anyone to remember that they once resided with the infinite in the holy city when life began and so on, this is an important thing to remember. But when our memory is tampered with, it becomes a form of mind control. Because then we remember either nothing, or we remember something that can be implanted. Now, the birds' migratory routes were supposed to keep open the ley lines of the planet and thereby keep open the memories of humanity and the Earth itself as to its sacred origins as the cradle of civilization. The ley lines were tampered with and moved by the one we came to know as Thoth. And when this happened, the memories were wiped out. And that made it possible to put in memories of man into man's mind as being less than the rest of the cosmos, when in fact we are the firstborn. And from our, you know, the firstborn is humanity. It happened in a couple of tiers when things started out, but still, humanity is the first race. And so it made it possible to put in memories of shame about our limitation. Instead of remembering that we came into this deep focus, which causes limitation in our vision, but gives us depths of analytical understanding that is unheard of anywhere else. But we have thought of ourselves as less, and that is the program that was put in so that we would take anybody that channels anything from anywhere, as long as it's somebody from the hidden realms, and they know more from the hidden realms about what is. But it is in humanity that the depths of information, of experiential knowledge, and the accessing of what is not, what is the unknown, that nobody yet found out. That's what we have had. And so if we live our life by the channelings of somebody, and I'm not saying all channelings are invalid, it's like speaking to a friend. But don't think because they seem to know whether your neighbor has just bought a new cat that they know how to live better than you do. They know what is. If you ask an angel or a dwarf or a dragon, the same question, did the neighbor get a cat? They can all see for sure they got a cat. Because they can see what is. And that can be helpful, but that's not the role of humanity. We are the trailblazers because we are accessing potential in new ways that other races don't. It's our birthright. We are the first race that had the potential placed within us. And so, you know, these shame and blame programs that have been placed in was put in as a result of the incorrect migratory routes of birds. They will now change back.
So that's basically the function of birds then on this planet.
Yes. However, they no longer need to do it. Because if we look at what I'm saying, we need it to remember. There is nothing we need to remember. We were born for the first time into reality as we exited this dream. And literally, today is like the first day of our life. Why? Well, we were born for the first time when we exited the dream, which was, I believe, in either late October or beginning November of 2008. But today's the day everything is being remade in a nanosecond from the wholeness of all tones, all light, all put back into one incorruptible matter of the infant's being. And we are then recreated pristinely from wholeness. Today is the first day of the rest of our life. What memories is it that we need to keep? See,
well,
all
so
memories are not
then,
real. Pardon?
What comes then of this idea of memories as our roots? We know which we base the, you know, which we with which we sort of navigate life, that kind of thing.
Yes, we don't need memories as roots. And that was actually just recently changed. Our roots are found not vertically in linear time, but horizontally. Let me explain. Ruhir, thank you. That's a brilliant, brilliant question. I will explain what I mean by roots have changed. Roots are no longer vertical, they're horizontal. But let's just take a quick commercial break, my brothers and sisters, and please don't go away. We're going to go into our final quarter of the show.
Almin continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almin is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Al Mean's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
In eliminating linear time, the infinite went through several steps. First of all, movement that was linear was done away with at the microscopic level all the way to the macroscopic level. Then the second step was that the moment was repeated multiple times. And for those of you that have seen the movie Groundhog's Day, it's where he lives the same day over and over and over until he gets it right, until he lives a glorious day of service and what pleases him as well. And so as we then progressed with this, we realized that, no, this is not working the same moment over and over and over. It's producing some sort of a little beat that in and of itself is then linear time. So then it was said that there will be a succession of moments, but that they nevertheless are just the current moment, completely disconnected from the moment that went before and the moment that went after. It still did not produce the total clarity that the infinite wanted. So then another and final step was taken to eliminate linear time. It was said that we live in one fluid moment, that something does not have to die to go to the next. Because see, if moments are dying and then another moment comes and then dies, it still creates this cycle of destructuring, restructuring. Mother wanted effortless and fluid transfiguration and regeneration to take place. So she said that life would become one long fluid moment. So understanding this, when your roots are going vertically, they are rooted in the past so that you may grow as a tree, say, into the future. That's linear time. So that was completely eliminated by the mother a few days ago. And what is now being done is that you're rooted in the moment, but you're rooted into the interconnectedness of life. Before, let's see what the difference would be. Let's say before that your grandpa, Jimmy Bean, or whoever he is, okay, was a hero in the army, and he rode miles without food and water, and you come from a stoic stock, and that sort of thing. See, those generational patterns, as part of getting rid of templates of existence, things that force us into being certain ways, was genetic programming was gotten rid of entirely. So just because Jimmy Bean was courageous doesn't mean we're going to be courageous. Or because he was a coward doesn't mean that that's in our genetics either. Then the next thing is this. If now we want to find courage, let's say we want to find an aspect of ourselves that's courageous, we don't look back to the ancestors. The ancestral roots was a very viable practice in shamanism. In new shamanism, it doesn't exist. We have, instead, the tiger. We have, instead, the little tiny swallows that will chase with absolute vehemence the biggest bird predators, like the eagle, away from their nest. They will be around his head. They will fly around and around him with such speed, pecking at his eyes where he's vulnerable, until he finally retreats. We will find the courage in those swallows. It's in the interconnectedness of life in the moment, which is one long fluid moment, part of what we're preparing for, my brothers and sisters, is eternal life. It's there where we now must find our roots.
So you're saying that this whole ancestral dimension is not there in new shamanism?
No, it isn't. And the new shamanism is actually the ancient shamanism that existed at the very beginning of life, when there was no ancestry. Life was purely and clearly made. Now, what is better now than then is the difference between a cartoon and a movie. And a very simple cartoon, like Mickey Mouse cartoon. And a full-life movie on the screen, except we've come out of the screen, we're actually on the stage of life. So it's between a stage play and a Mickey Mouse movie. It might have painted beautiful castles and palaces on Earth, but the fullness and refinement that has brought us to this point is far beyond the original creation. The creational process in the dream was very linear. You know, Mother has changed that. And in real, you know, when you change something now and you're in a fluid eternal moment, it changes everything everywhere. But if we look at it the way it was a linear becoming into refined complexity of evolutionary expression. It wasn't, you know, it started out as a cartoon, very simplistic.
Yeah, I'm still wondering. I'm just looking at the words because I wrote them down. But, I mean, what it means, how something can be rooted in interconnectedness.
It's a little bit like the trees that fall over in the old-growth forest that you often walk in here. When they fall over, it's because their roots are shallow. Look, they don't have what we called, I don't know what it is in English, a penwortel in Dutch.
I'm not sure what that means.
Oh. What is a root in Dutch? Is that because you're Dutch?
Yeah, that's wortel.
Wortel. Okay, a penwortel is some trees have a long one that goes deeply down. From it branches off little ones. Others spread it out to the side. And the ones that fall over in the forest, like you see, with their huge root systems exposed, they have spread their roots to the side. So we're changing the root system of the cosmos. It used to have, and I'm pretty sure it's called a penwortel. It used to have a penwortel that went deep in. Now it has, an umbrella spread. And trees have those variances too.
Okay, I'm just wondering though if the solidity of the soil in our metaphor doesn't kind of parallel the sort of solidity of this sense of memory and ancestry as well. And I always would be thinking that if it's interconnectedness is something that's kind of, you know, maybe in the treetops or something rather than the soil.
I have about 1 minute to explain this one, so let's see how well I can do. You're right. It has everything to do with the soil. Where soil is solid, you don't need the depths. That root, that long root that went vertically down from the tree, was there to get water. And those trees that were like that grew in areas where they had to dig deep for water. But it also is sometimes when the soil is soft that it spreads out more because it gives better structure. What we have now as soil is the infinite being itself. We're no longer the pot made from the clay, made by the potter. We have become part of the potter's arms, part of the potter. So our soil is what will feed us, our stability. It is eternal. It has had no beginning, and it has no end. My brothers and sisters, we unfortunately have come to the end of our hour, and we'll be back with you again next week. Thank you for joining us, and please tell your friends about us if you think they're ready. Thank you. Bye-bye.
you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.